Welcome. You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith, amateur radio operator W0NX, featuring the March 2025 The Spectrum Monitor. We'll begin by finishing European Radio Scene by George Viesala, the Texon S2200X portable HF receiver, and other radio delights. In response to the events in Syria and the Middle East, the BBC World Service, BBC WS, has now resumed medium-wave broadcasts from Cyprus on 639 and 720 kHz, on the air from 0600 to 0730, and 1300 to 1930 UTC in Arabic and English. Transmitter power on both frequencies is 250 kilowatts from the Encompass Run relay station at Ladies Mile. The masts are right on the beach within the UK's Ekrotiri military base, just south of Limassol. The BBC WS had for several months been carrying a limited medium-wave service to Gaza on 639 kHz in Arabic at 0600 to 0630 and 1500 to 1530, which has presumably been incorporated into the above schedule. Further reading and resources. The British DX Club's radio stations in the UK is now available online as a free download, covering British medium-wave, VHF, FM, and DAB radio. Website bdxc.org.uk/rsuk.html. And our Kiwi friend, Andrew Barron, has added yet another entry to his popular Radio Today series on radio and transceiver guides. This time, Andrew takes a thorough look at the Jiegu X6200 QRP transceiver. There is an interesting new blog for you to sample, hosted by Moonraker UK. Pioneers of Radio deals with lesser-known radio inventors, as well as with famous characters. I was pleased to see Wilhelm Conrad Röntgen, 1845 to 1923, featured there, who, among other things, invented X-rays. More significantly for me, he came from my hometown, Remscheid-Lennep, in Germany. I promise to feature this fascinating scientist in an article here in the not-too-distant future. Website, tinyurl.com/2RRPH8B7. The Winter 2024-25 e-newsletter from ICOM UK is ICOM's most recent company news and some details of new product releases, as well as links to the very useful ICOM Knowledge Database. You can subscribe to the newsletter at marketing@icomuk.co.uk. I also found an informative piece in one of the WIN Radio newsletters on the use of the WIN Radio range of receivers during last year's Paris Olympic Games. Paris 2024 Olympics, Behind the RF Scenes by Steve Caldwell, shed some light on how a professional HF setup works and what kind of preparation it requires. Highly recommended reading. Website, winradio.com/PDF/Paris-2024.PDF. Maybe you will want to refresh your knowledge of weird signals. France 24 posted a fascinating article about the vestiges of the Cold War and the buzzer on its website. It makes for troubling reading. Moving to Germany, you may have heard of the publication Funk Telegram, presenting a variety of contributions of interest to the radio enthusiast. Some of the intriguing signals monitored over the last few weeks include the new Stalingrad clock, 6,911 kHz, the Japanese slot machine, 4,770 kHz, the alarm, 8,588 kHz, and of course the buzzer, 4,625 kHz. Source, Active HF Frequencies Facebook group, M. Person. Check out the Enigma 2000 and Priam websites for more. Also, take a look at the latest shortwave frequency guide, B24, by Tony Rogers. Website, tinyurl.com/4PHP5EWW. You can learn more about the UK Maidenhead Locator System via LAM Communications. Website, whatsmylocator.co.uk. You can also listen to the birds and treat yourself to one of the wonderfully detailed maps on Aeronautical HF Radio 2025 at this URL, hfradio.one. Last but not least, follow the European and Dutch pirate radio stations via the blogger Ontvang Straporten Middengolf Piraten. There are often new and updated reception reports. Website, mgpiraten.blogspot.com. That's it for this month. I hope you have enjoyed this column, and I am looking forward to seeing you again next time. And now Radio 101 by Ken Reitz, KS4CR. KS4ZR numeral 1 at gmail.com. Adventures in over-the-air TV. If you have a TV set in 2025, there are almost unlimited viewing options. Cable, satellite, streaming services, over-the-air, OTA TV, even pay-per-view. But times have really changed for OTA broadcast TV since the 1980s and 90s, when cable and satellite TV took over U.S. household TV viewing habits established in the 1950s and 60s. After the Great Recession hit in 2008, cord-cutting, ditching relatively expensive cable or satellite TV services, gained a lot of traction. The following year, there was a major technology shift in OTA TV when the U.S. threw the digital switch, changing from analog TV to digital broadcast TV. That ushered in the 16:9 screen dimension, high-definition TV to the small screen, and added many auxiliary TV channels known as digital subchannels. 2 years later, a new video streaming service known as Netflix began its online service, making cord cutting even more attractive. While Americans were swapping their old analog TV sets for the new digital sets, Netflix had just under 12 million subscribers. The company peaked in 2020 with 36.5 million subscribers, according to Statista. According to a report published January 2025 from Nielsen, the media data crunchers, few U.S. homes today rely solely on TV antennas for TV content. While the way in which audiences access TV content continues to evolve, the concentration of OTA homes has remained consistent over the past 5 years. OTA homes represent 14.5% of U.S. TV households in third quarter 2023. These are homes that supplement their OTA TV viewing with streaming. Data from the National Cable and Telecommunications Association shows that the total number of cable TV households in 2009 was almost 105 million, By 2024, that number had dropped to 66 million. Satellite TV subscribership is on a similar downward trajectory. One of the biggest reasons for cord cutting remains the monthly cost of cable and satellite TV programming, an average of just under $90 per month per household in 2024, over $1,000 per year. Many cord cutters are quasi-cord cutters. That is, they kept the internet service part of their cable package and ditched the high-ticket programming packages. According to a CNET article from December 28, 2024, the average cost for high-speed internet access is $63 per month, but that only provides access to the web. The cost of streaming services must be included, and those have gone up considerably. According to an article from January 23, 2025, in Fortune magazine, since 2019, Disney has gone up 129%, Netflix 100%, Apple TV Plus 100%, DirecTV Stream 74%, YouTube 66%, Paramount Plus 60%, Peacock 60%, Sling TV 53%, Hulu 30%, and Amazon Prime Video 17%. OTA TV has several things going for it in these inflationary times. Once you pay for your TV set, network programs, think ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, and PBS, are basically free, thanks to the fact that most channels you'll see are supported by commercial ads, or in the case of public TV programming, sponsorship announcements. Still, without a decent antenna, unless you live in a suburban area, your reception options will be limited. OTA TV options. Over the decades, I've reviewed many OTA TV antennas, and over that period, there have been many changes. When the great DTV switch was thrown in 2009, nearly all TV stations moved to the UHF band. As a result, antenna manufacturers started making OTA TV antennas that favored UHF reception. Meanwhile, many consumers complained to the FCC that their DTV reception fell dramatically compared to their analog reception. As a result, the FCC allowed some stations to migrate to the VHF band. Consumers were sent in circles, buying a new digital TV and trying to find an antenna that would bring back the channels they were missing. Now, we're confronted with ATSC 3.0, the latest transmission format slowly rolling out across the U.S. ATSC 3.0 is not backward compatible with ATSC 1.0, but don't panic, there's no cutoff date. We can expect ATSC 1.0 and 3.0 to coexist for many years. While many new TV sets are capable of ATSC 3.0 reception, most consumers are either not aware of the new format or don't care enough to buy a new ATSC 3.0 set. Remember, too, that there are still 66 million households on cable TV and 19.5 million satellite TV households, for a combined total of more than 85 million. These households don't need ATSC 3.0 TV sets. Their cable and satellite receivers do the receiving. Any HDTV or 4K TV will do just fine. For those that want to experience ATSC 3.0, remember that all TV sets don't have the same reception capabilities. A cheaper solution is to buy a standalone ATSC 3.0 converter. I know, it was just 16 years ago that we were buying digital converter boxes in the switch from analog to digital, but this time there is no appetite for a federal government subsidy. This time you're on your own. That may be why ATSC 3.0 is so slow to roll out and why the digital converter I reviewed in 2024 is now $30 cheaper. I found that our Sony Bravia 43-inch 4K smart TV, $480 at Amazon, is about as sensitive as the Zinwell ATSC 3.0 box, and the picture on both is excellent on those channels transmitting in the new ATSC 3.0 4K format, or what used to be the state-of-the-art 1080i. If you currently have a great TV, which is to say 4K capable, and are happy with the picture, don't worry about ATSC 3.0 reception. When stations in your area start broadcasting an ATSC 3.0, and you already have a good OTA TV antenna, just add the Zinwell box to your TV and you're all set. Inside and outside antennas. If you don't have a good OTA TV antenna, your options are somewhat limited. First, find out whether the stations in your area are transmitting on VHF or UHF, or, as in some cases, both. I like to think that I'm on top of local TV transmissions, but somehow I missed the fact that the main TV station in one direction switched in 2020 from UHF channel 30 to low VHF, channel 2 to be exact. No wonder reception disappeared for me. If all your stations are UHF, just about any UHF antenna will do, but consider if you need to mount it inside to comply with homeowners association rules, for example, or if you can mount it outside. Consider if you need to rotate it or if it can be installed and pointed in one direction, no rotator needed. These things will considerably add or subtract to your overall expenses in pursuit of OTA TV. A rotator will be a minimum of $80 extra. 5-foot Rhone galvanized antenna masts are $24 each. You'll need 6 to get the antenna up to 30 feet. Consider, too, that you'll need good RG6 coax, $25 for 100 feet, and possibly an antenna preamplifier, $50 to $100 if you're in what is called a TV fringe area. Reception will be possible only if you throw a lot of money at the project. Both Winnegard preamps, the Boost XT, $52, and Boost XT Pro, $100, have nearly identical specs, not enough to justify the difference between the cost of the two. Further, Antenna Direct offers a similar antenna preamp with claimed 18 dB gain and 3 dB noise figure for $80. One problem all antenna mast-mounted preamps have is a susceptibility to nearby lightning strikes. Hams have known for decades that stacking Yagi antennas increases the gain considerably, about 3 dB, or doubling the gain. The beauty is that it works on receive as well as transmit, but here we're only looking at reception. And back in the 1950s and 60s, TV antenna installers often stacked TV antennas for that very reason. In the July 2023 issue of this column, I reviewed Antennas Direct VHF UHF TV antenna, $70, which covers 174 to 608 MHz and includes a built-in 75-ohm ballon. I also discussed mounting it in a vertical polarity as a scanner beam antenna, which worked very well. Recently, I stacked two Element antennas together. Total cost $140, no preamp needed, and did a scan of local channels. The Zinwell ATSC 3.0 converter found 51 channels, which includes 6 4K ATSC 3.0 channels, none of which the Zinwell could lock in for any length of time. The other channels consisted of only 2 1080i resolution channels, and the rest did a poor 720i or worse 480i resolution. Still, as small as these are, at just under 4 feet in boom length, with the longest element just under 3 feet. This is a sturdy, diminutive antenna that would be easy to fit in anyone's attic space, or can be easily attached to an exterior gable end of the house, for example. It's not a miracle worker for fringe locations, but for suburban viewers, this might be perfect. One thing to remember about this antenna is that it does not cover the FM frequencies. A couple of pointers when stacking antennas. Only stack unamplified antennas. The easiest way to stack antennas is one over the other on a single mast, as is done here, making sure that the distance between each antenna is at least 1/2 wavelength, so that the elements of one antenna don't electrically interfere with elements of the other antenna. In this case, the lowest frequency is about 200 megahertz, or about 1.5 meters. So the minimum distance between these two antennas in a stacked array will be about 2.5 feet. Antennas must be identical, and the phasing harness, which is made up of two relatively short lengths of RG6 coax, exactly the same length, attaching one end to each antenna and the other end of each cable to a TV antenna combiner, make sure it can pass the frequencies covered by the antennas. It will usually say on the case, VHF, UHF, FM splitter combiner. It's called a phasing harness because you want the signals from each antenna to arrive at the lead-in in phase. If the antennas are different or pointed in different directions, or the cable lengths are not the same, the signal will arrive at the lead-in out of phase, and the signal will be degraded, not enhanced. A single RG6 coax lead-in goes from the combiner down the mast and into the house, where it attaches to the antenna input of your TV set or the antenna input of your Zinwell ATSC 3.0 converter. When you're investigating your local OTA TV options, the best place to look is rabbitears.info. It's quite up to date, and once you locate your nearest city, by clicking on that entry, you'll see a drop-down list of stations licensed to that market. By clicking on any one of the station call signs, you'll see another drop-down list where you can find how many auxiliary channels each has and what they are. Further, if you click on technical data on that drop-down list, you'll find the FCC technical data, transmitter power, distance of the first contour, height of the transmitting antenna. And by clicking once more on the antenna coordinates, it brings up a map that will show you exactly which direction to point your antenna and how far away the tower is from your antenna. It's important to note that in a large city, the distance between towers can be widespread, and if you are using a narrow beamwidth antenna, you may have to move your antenna slightly from one channel to the other for best results, particularly if you are in a fringe location. I learned a lot about the TV stations in my receiving location from rabbitears.info. Find the details about the OTA TV stations in your area at rabbitears.info/market.php. Is it worthwhile? Now, a few words about content. As we all know, the main network stations broadcast whatever their main network feed is. We'll continue this article next time. Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.